Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Ooh. Oh,
boring. That's another new top you've got. That's the other top you were wearing last week was really lovely. You were wearing a red dress. Was it a red dress you were wearing?
It was a red top. I have got to stop charity shopping. I was in South Birmingham this last weekend, and there's places I go where they do a lot of shops. Oh, wow. Well, you know, I've got to go. I got another winter coat. I got two winter coats in the last week.
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna chat among yourselves.
We are recording.
I'm gonna model. Yeah, that's fine. You just chat among yourselves. I'm gonna model my latest coat. Okay, go on.
So you're going to go and put on a coat to show us for an audio recording of a podcast.
I know. I was like, we're in the episode, Maureen. Is what's happening now?
I mean, oh no, don't let that worry you. I'll just pop out and get a coat.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
I don't understand, Alison, how Maureen is able to buy this many clothes for like such a... whenever I go into a charity shop, do you ever find anything?
Not a single thing.
Oh, okay. She's put it on. She's put the coat on, just for the listeners, in case you're wondering what's going on here.
Yeah, Maureen has put a coat on. It doesn't really work for a podcast, does it? But anyway...
Doesn't really work for a podcast. No, it doesn't, Maureen. Okay, so let's have a look. That's very nice. It's got a fur trim.
Love
black
yeah,
coat with
Eastex,
a fur trim.
Which is a good make, and it's new, and it cost me £20.
£20 for a brand new coat. That is an absolute bargain, Maureen. You're having a laugh, aren't you?
Yeah, and I bought a £30 new coat. Well, not
£30
to me.
£30, that's a lot for you.
Yeah, on a charity, but it's a really nice wintry
what
coat.
What colour? Don't go back and get it, for God's sake.
No, it's blue. No fur. But it looks really warm.
Good. But because to be honest, that coat that you've been wearing for the last couple of years had to go. No, the black coat.
Maureen,
you know the one I'm
look at her.
About.
She's like, I'm not accepting that. There's still some worse in it.
It was looking a bit worn, love.
It is a bit worn. But I mean, I bought so many coats recently.
And the fur coat's no good if it rains.
Yeah.
You're just like a drowned rat in that. But now look at this beautiful coat.
I've got to stop buying clothes. I need a new flat just for the secondhand clothes.
What's the most you've ever spent on a thrift item, Maureen? What's the most you've ever spent?
I would say £30.
£30, I think.
What's the least you've ever spent? I know you know that.
But it was like a proper, really good quality.
You don't have to justify. £30 is very reasonable. What's the least you've ever spent?
That's a lot of money for me.
Yeah. Huh? What's the least you've ever spent?
25 pence.
I love it. What'd you get for 25 pence?
A ring.
A ring. What did you say?
A ring. I know.
She knew the item. She could even picture the ring is my guess.
I know the cost of every single item of clothing that Maureen wears. She will introduce an item of clothing and then tell me how much it costs. See this? £6. This top? £9. These shoes? 48 pence. This ring? £1.
It's true because, you know, like some people like to do designer names. This is me and my father. We like to boast about how cheap we've got everything.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
And this coat fits me. It's a size 16 as well.
I like that that's a bonus. And and it even fits me,
gang. I've got a very similar coat like this that doesn't fit me that I bought.
No, it doesn't close. It
doesn't close. Yeah. This one closes.
No. No. But it's, you know, it's good if the coat, if you can close
the coat.
Yeah,
it does help the effect. But you know what? I had so many clothes that I put in my suitcase, I could hardly drag it along. And I had to wear this yesterday, even though it was really sunny, because I couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't put it in the case. So I had to wear a winter's coat yesterday in 20 odd degree heat.
And this is a good time to plug our Patreon. Listen, if you want to see the coat that we are talking about, just join us on Patreon and you can get a visual. And Maureen, one day we'll do a fashion show. Maybe we should do a fashion show of all the items you have bought from a charity shop.
Oh, no, that would be tops new. That skirt's charity as well. We'd be here for hours if I did that. It's half my wardrobe's all charity. I don't buy proper clothes. I just always only get charity clothes.
Well, you do buy proper clothes, yes. Maureen. You do. And actually, I think you're doing your bit for the environment because yes. What you're not doing
is
not buying brand new clothes that you don't wear. You're buying clothes that have been worn that you do wear. And you're making, I mean, to be fair, every item that you're buying on the thrift store, you are wearing and you wear often. It's not like it stays at the bottom of your bed like some of the clothes that we have to talk about that you have had for over 25, 30 years that you will never, ever wear again, but you insist on hanging on to. But let's not talk about that now.
In case I become a size 10 again.
In case Maureen says, what if I lose weight? I was like, you would have to have a degenerative disease to get back into that size. Okay.
But
as we get older, if we start losing weight, if we start to lose weight like that, we're very, very sick. Okay.
On the plus side, when I pop my socks, whatever it is, pop my clogs, whatever this phrase
is. It's your clogs.
What's it called?
You should know that by the Sheila Martin joke.
Yeah.
Pop my clogs. What was the Sheila Martin joke? Oh, yeah. One of the most painful
ways to die.
Pop your clogs. Just your feet exploding. I've actually butchered that joke.
You'll make a fortune on Vinted. Can I just say, if anybody wants to check out Sheila Martin, she sadly doesn't gig anymore. It's Irish Sheila, S-H-E-L-A-G-H, Martin. There's a 20-minute clip of her on YouTube. It is absolutely fantastic.
That's a good sidebar to that conversation about your clothing, Maureen. Well done. Well, I'm glad you've had a good week. You've been shopping. You've been gigging. You've been living your best bloody life. Alison, what have you been up to?
I ate turpin for the first time. Let's talk about that.
Turpin? So what's turpin?
Was it turpin? What's the name
terrapin?
Of the fish? What's the name of the fish I ate, Jen?
Oh, turbot.
Turbot. I ate turbot for the first time. Not turpin, everyone. I did not eat.
She ate dick turpin.
I ate that fish with it. Look.
Was turbot, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was turbot. Because I was like, nice. What's turbot? And you're like, it's a lovely white fish. So I ate turbot for the first time. So basically my 2010 New Year's resolution was to eat more fish, everyone. So I'm going back. I'm trying to complete that 2010 New Year's resolution.
You didn't say which year, did you? You just said eat more fish.
I just said eat more fish. Exactly. Thank you, Maureen. So I am doing it right.
No, we went for this meal in last week, in Newcastle.
Uh-huh.
That's my producer Sam took us to, and we were supposed to go to a French restaurant, but we couldn't get in. And he said, "Oh, well, I booked this table at a pub, so should we just go there?" We were like, "Yeah, sure."
Yeah,
so we went to this pub by the quayside in Newcastle, and boy, oh boy, was the food absolutely out of this world amazing. Everything. Oysters.
Monkfish cheeks. We had oysters. We had, what was the other thing we had?
Haggis.
Haggis. A fancy haggis on toast, which was like.
But with this sauce around it. What the hell was that sauce?
Whiskey sauce, probably.
Whiskey sauce, it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maureen, I got to tell you, it was incredible. Now, I know you don't eat blood pudding, and I don't want you to be physically sick. But Sam ordered a blood pudding as a main meal, but it was spiced blood pudding for our US listeners and Aussie listeners. If you don't know what blood pudding is,
it sounds like.
Don't ask. You know what Daddy Boy calls it? Basically calls it a scab.
Yeah, a scab.
It is a scab.
But anyway, he had it. It and I was like, oh, I don't know if I could do a whole blood pudding for a my fucking God.
I could have eaten that whole blood pudding. It was crispy on the outside. There was flavoring. It was
the most delicious thing.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
It was absolutely incredible. We both had turbot, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which was also very, very delicious in what was essentially just drowned in this butter.
Butter.
What was the name of the pub, by the way, in Newcastle? Can you remember?
Oh, my God. What was it? Was it the bat? The bar, the barrow. I want to say the barrow. No, that's not right.
Started with a B. Yeah.
It's just an old, normal pub at the bottom, wasn't it? It was nothing particularly exciting at the bottom. But then you go upstairs, there's dining rooms at the top. And the food's incredible. And we can really recommend it.
Yeah. The oysters, we don't know what it's called.
Don't know what it's called. We really recommend it.
We can really recommend it.
I almost feel like I should email
go
Sam
to
right
every
now.
Pub by the key.
It was so good. Yeah, every single... But it reunited my love of fish. I mean, I've always loved fish, but I've decided I'm really going to dive into the world of more seafood and fish in the future. So that's my new thing. If anyone's got any great fish recipes, send them my way.
Oh, I've got it. The pub is called Broad Chair. Chair is Chare. Go to Broad Chair Pub in Newcastle. I think it's just by the quayside.
And, try the blood pudding. Oh,
try the blood pudding and the oysters. Oh my God.
The oysters were like butter. They melted in our mouths. God.
God damn it.
It was great. It was
the best. Yeah. That was the best part of that entire week.
Was that meal. So yeah, that's my week. It's fast. I'm fantasizing about fish now, everyone.
So I have also had a week back swimming again now that I've got a bit of time off, which has been really lovely to get back in the sea. I know, it's so boring, isn't it? I mean, what do I talk about? Touring and swimming. What is it? It's got to be. I'd love to say tell you there's more going on, but there actually isn't.
You got new sofas.
Oh yeah, but that was ages ago. But yes, I have got new sofas, Maureen. Thank you for bringing that up.
I'm not allowed to eat near them.
Well, nobody is. Nobody is because they're brand new sofas. It's not personal to you, Maureen, although you, more than most people, I wouldn't let anywhere near those sofas with food. You and the children are definitely banned.
Or a coffee. Yeah, we're banned.
Yeah, basically, Maureen's not allowed on the sofas.
I'm doing a self-ban because they are
velvet.
What, Jen? They're velvet.
They're velvet. Yeah, you can't sit on them.
Self-ban over here. Yeah. Gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I think Chloe's trying to tell us something, Alison.
Chloe doesn't want us in the house. And every piece of furniture is velvet. Maureen, you can't eat anywhere. Alison, you'll hate every piece of furniture. I see what she's doing. It won't work. We're still coming over.
You're still coming over. Yeah, you are. You're coming over. We've already booked some time. We've already booked a week where you can come over, Alison. I seem to remember.
I'm pre-ordering blankets to send to the house to just cover all the furniture.
We've got blankets we would put on the furniture for you. How about that? That's
You're
how
so
much
sweet.
We love you.
And they've got some plastic covering for me.
Yeah, exactly, Maureen. Go to the Maureen cupboard. Go to the Alison cupboard. Cover the furniture. They're coming over.
Maureen's got an all body bib, which we bought.
I want you to have one of the catchy bibs, right? With a little...
Oh, no, it's full PPE.
And for everyone around her.
But both of you, as you know, are always welcome. Anyway, what a week we've had. I've really got to ramp up my ideas, haven't I, about stuff to talk about, because so far it's just touring and swimming. But I will. You wait. Once this tour is over, and it will end this year, just to let you know, I will have some other stories to tell. But for now, let us return to the younger that will always be Maureen, because she has a moment that she must record for us, and it is her Be More Maureen moment.
I messaged Jen, I have just put olive oil in my eyes. And I was like, sitting there going, why is it so blurred?
I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you?
It was fine in the end, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No,
you wouldn't recommend it, Maureen.
Told this story, but this is a while back. I was in a cafe, I was going to a course in Stratford, and I was hanging, you know, waiting time before the course started. And so it was near closing up time, so I need to go to the loo. The loo was upstairs, so they're all waiting for me to leave. Do you know what I mean? I'm like the only person, and it's so they're all sitting there and they all watch me go upstairs. And as usual, I hadn't bothered putting any makeup on or done my hair or anything, so I do that in the toilet, put makeup on, brush my hair, little things like that. Come back down to find that everybody's gone home and they've locked me in the cafe. They'd forgotten I'd gone to the toilet. And I know middle-aged women are meant to be invisible, but I was like, they're just taking the piss. I mean, they all saw me go up there. And I was like, and
maybe they thought you'd come back. They must have thought you'd come back down.
But, yeah, because also, like, you know, my makeup routine does not take a long time. Do you know what I mean? It's not like I spend hours doing makeup. It's like, rah, 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 that's it, sorted. And it was in part of Stratford, you know, the old shopping. Westfield hadn't been, didn't exist in those days. So it was the old Stratfield shopping centre. I managed to find a number and I phoned the security guard at Stratford and I went, look, I'm stuck in this cafe. And he thought I was making it up. I was like, why would I make this up? Like, why would I make up the fact that I'm in the cafe? I said, you can come to the window and you will see me in the cafe. So I had to really argue with him to get hold of the owner. And then the owner came and let me out. Didn't apologise or anything. Just went...
Oh, classic. And, no apology.
Let me out of the cafe. And then I had to turn up to this course and explain I was late because I was locked in a cafe, which seemed really un... Like, you know, what... Does that sound like a realistic excuse? Oh, sorry. I was locked in a cafe down the road. So, yeah, I was locked in a cafe.
Oh, Maureen. That, I'd actually be a bit panic-stricken if I got locked in a cafe.
Oh, no, there was food. There was food.
There was food. Oh, yeah.
I know, love, but even so, you don't want to sleep in a cafe, do you?
Was there one second of you that was kind of disappointed that you weren't locked in with the food all night? Was there one?
No, but because I was a bit pissed off because I wanted to go, you know, yeah. I was going on this, I was on this course. Maybe if I didn't have anything planned, but I had a course to go to, didn't I?
Maureen, I feel for you. That's stressful.
But you know, we're talking about being an invisible woman.
And also, in your defence, on this instance, not your fault.
It wasn't my fault because I'd walked past about four members of staff.
Yeah, and they must have just gone. Not your fault at all.
Oh, she must have just... And then they were all by the door that I'd gone up. So it was like...
They didn't check the toilets before they locked up?
No.
Yeah. No, that's actually unacceptable, Maureen. And on this occasion, I'm on your side. I hate it when I have to be on Maureen's side. It actually spoils the whole thing. But on this occasion, Maureen, I'm absolutely on your side. What a bloody load of old nonsense. You're stuck in that calf.
And the worst bit was arguing with the security guy going, yeah, you're having a laugh. I said, I'm not having a laugh. I'm in here.
Oh, yeah. This is a hilarious moment where I pretend to be in a cafe when I'm not.
I'm a full-grown woman pranking you right now. Like,
yeah, I'm an adult phoning another adult to pretend to be in a cafe. I imagine you get these calls all the time, judging by your response. Your bell, come and get me. How long did you have to wait in the cafe before they came to get you?
I can't remember. It wasn't that long, I don't think, but I was like...
What did you say to him when he opened up?
I can't remember, to be honest, but I, you know...
I bet it wasn't. I bet you weren't smiling.
You know what I mean, Miss Diplomatic. Oh, can, oh no, that's something.
No, going to save that one.
She no, just no, no. It's just like something that happened last week. Was I was in a gig with this guy, Finney Christie, and it was pissing down with rain, and he was trying to get somebody from the audience to give us a lift, and it wasn't working. So I just shouted, "Can anyone give us a lift to 251 Birmingham Road, the Travel Lodge?" Anyway, we got a lift. Mr.
We all agree that in that instance we all were like, "Where's Maureen?"
Yep.
Do you know what?
You've done that. I mean, when you used to run that gig at the Kitchen Garden Cafe, and you needed a lift to the station. Maureen would go, "You'll give me a lift to the station." Not like, "Would you mind giving me a lift to?" It'd be like, "Lynn, you'll give us a lift to the station, won't you?" And they'd be like, "Oh yeah, okay."
I stayed in people's houses because Maureen was like, "You don't mind if Allison stays at your place tonight, do you?" And I literally, I stayed with that person again because I was like, "Well, Maureen said I could."
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I remember Mandy Moodin needed to leave after she was on and I got somebody during the show. So they're missing part of the show and they gave them a lift to the station and back. It's 20 minutes away.
Yeah. Yeah. Alex is laughing so hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex, it's true.
At the end of Birmingham, I'd always go, "Can I get a lift to Hall Green? Because that's where I stay."
And someone would always.
Same sort of taxi, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And also, you know what? You're putting it out there and people can say no, can't they, Maureen?
Yeah.
Well, at least
they... Yeah, theoretically can, but obviously not. Maureen Younger, thank you very much for your Be More Maureen moments. We're really easing into this series with these Be More Maureen moments. We haven't yet experienced a true blue BMM, have we?
That's,
you know,
like
one
changing.
Where we all just go.
I was going to say, well, she's doing all this
changing.
Work on herself. Are we going to lose the moments? No, we're not going to lose the moments.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second. I know for a fact that we're gonna be getting half a dozen more before the end of next week.
I've just thought one actually.
Yeah, start writing them down. See, there we go. There's never a lack.
There we go. We've literally finished one and she's already thought of another. Maureen, thank you for your Be More Maureen moment. What a joy. But now, again, we turn back to the wise owl of the group. It is Alison June Smith, and it's time to ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Cause I ain't using it. No, no.
No, no.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Woohoo, woohoo. That's me being a wise owl. There we go. All right. Here, so we got, thanks, Alex. Alex really liked that. I appreciate that. Nobody else laughed, but woo-hoo, that's for you, buddy. All right.
I'm here for the hoo-hoo.
Oh, I just got that. Sorry.
Maureen's still writing her Be More Maureen moment.
Be More Maureen moment.
Absolute classic.
Ah, thank you. That is the only imitation I can do accurately. Okay, here we go. So, again,
what about an Australian owl? Can you do an Australian owl?
Oi. No, I'm not even going to do it, everyone, because then our Australian listeners will no longer tune in.
That'll be that.
It'll sound Jamaican. Anyway, because I am the worst at accents. So, thank you for people for writing in. Thank you. Again, I haven't praised everyone enough. I am so grateful that we are getting so many problems now. You are writing in regularly. Thank you. I'm not a professional. I have no accurate advice. All I can do is suggest. So this week, our problem. What would your advice be when you have gone through a breakup where the other person has cut ties and asked that you don't reach out to them or their family, but it seems they accidentally and awkwardly have something of yours that had belonged to a loved one who has passed? Okay. So I would read the whole problem. Basically, I'm going to summarize at this point. What has gone on is they broke up. They've kind of been in touch a little on and off because in their relationship, they were good communicators. They said, let's end the relationship, but we'll always still be friends. We'll get along well, good communication. The other person has decided they just can't handle it. So they're like, I can't talk to you. With respect, I have to have the distance. And part of me respects a person when you know you can't engage with a person. And it's hard, even if you do amicably break up, even if you do, you do need to have that space. So, you know, I'm at least great. I think it's good that the other person knows their boundaries. OK, but the hard part is now they have this item. The person wants the item back. They have emailed. They have tried to get a hold. The person is not communicating, I think, because they just want to have distance. And maybe they're worried that this is a way to, you know, engage again. So what can you do in a situation if it's a personal item, you need to get it back? This is what I've come up with. So I love that you're emailing. They've emailed to contact the person because I do believe that is the most respectful way of trying to communicate with a person when you are distancing, right? Phoning, contacting people that they know, that's a bit too close. So well done you for doing the emails. I always feel email is the most respectable way of doing it. What I want to suggest is in the email, could you suggest different ways of getting the item? Maybe a third party could go get the item. Do you have a mutual friend that could go get the item? That way it's not you having to interact, because maybe that's the thing. Maybe they're just like, I can't handle seeing you. Could you offer to maybe get an Uber to deliver it to you that you could pay for? Could you arrange a place to meet, or a place that they could drop off something and then you could go get it? I think in the emails, if you give these suggestions so they know this is not a way that you're trying to communicate with them, you know, you genuinely want this item back. If you list a bunch of reasons or ways that you can get this item back without interaction, I think that might be a nice place to start. And then, I mean, the only place other that you can go to is, I don't want to say get legally involved or you know, but you can contact the police. But again, I don't want this to seem like you're going drastic. But you can ask to get a police escort to get your belongings, maybe make an arrangement to retrieve things now the police are very busy. They don't always have time. So it's not what they would call a high priority thing. So you might have a bit of a long wait, but it is advisable to speak with your local station, as some forces will have different policies, so they might be able to help you out. But I like to think if you clearly communicate all these things in an email to this person, that they will understand. So those are the first steps that I'm going to say to you. I think that's about all you can do at this point. They've asked you to not be in touch with their family. I respect this, but you do have every right to get back this object. So I would just start off with an email explaining all the options. You know, I just need this item back. I like to think this person that is a good communicator from your past will understand and not just block you. That is the best advice I can give you at this point, is those suggestions to really clearly communicate ways that it's not a direct interaction. That's what I think.
I think getting a mutual friend to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Third. I did it for a friend.
Yeah.
I did it for a friend. This is a long time ago, but she had an acrimonious breakup with her partner. And, you know, I got on with him. So it was fine. And me and a friend went round and collected all of her stuff from the flat on her behalf. And he was cool about it.
Yeah.
You know, because he didn't want to see her and she didn't want to see him. And so because it's a mutual friend, because we knew him, he knew we weren't going to, like, you know, cause any problems or make a scene or anything. And so that was the easiest and the best way in that particular circumstance to do it. So I feel like that is often a much easier way than doing it. I think involving the police,
it just makes things worse.
That's drastic.
Oh, yeah. And I just don't think the police, look, given how underfunded they are, I just don't know how they would have the time to be able to do that. But certainly, if you have a friend that is mutual, that you can say, would you mind going on my behalf? And they can do all the emailing as I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think she should email him directly. She should get the mutual friend to email.
Oh, Maureen, that's great. Yeah. Even a step further apart. Because that's the thing. Even if it's an amicable breakup, it just gets tricky. Sometimes you just need to not. So I respect a person for being like, I can't do this. However, you know, you want your item back.
You can say, listen, I'm contacting you on behalf of my friend, your ex, your partner, because they would really like to get this thing back. It's really important. As you know, this belonged to their member of their family who passed, and has sentimental value. Could you let me know when is a good time for me to come and collect it, or where we could meet, where I could come and pick it up? And I'm sure that person is going to be like, yeah, sure, I'll get rid of it. Here we go.
Because they probably don't want that item. That item's going to remind them of you as well. So they
they might not even, do you know what I mean? It might not even be on their mind.
It probably won't be on their mind.
They might be thinking, they probably won't, but even if it is, they'll probably be like, I don't want to have to contact them to tell them about it because I just don't want to have to speak to her. Yeah. All of those things, if you can find a mutual friend, I think is the best way to go about it. But it is tricky. These things are tricky. Breakups are hard.
It's hard. Yeah. So I'm sorry you're going through the breakup, but it sounds like you both, you know, this is what has to happen. So best of luck to you. But and I love the idea, like you guys said, even getting a third party to email, because maybe this person doesn't even want to open up the emails. Again, I respect that.
I mean, I've had that from somebody who was being who's quite manipulative, and I still haven't opened the email. I've kept it, but I never opened it.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I just
can't be bothered. Yeah. So that might be what happened. So that's an excellent idea, gang. So that's where we're at. That's what we think you should do. But I wish you the best of luck. And, you know, breakups are always a nice, fresh start in life. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah, they're absolutely dog shit to begin with.
Yeah.
And then they do open up eventually and you can
start
fresh.
Or do what I do and never go out with anyone and then you don't have the breakup.
Absolutely never address loads of issues from your past and remain single for the rest of your life. That is also an option.
It is an option. Yeah.
One of the two. See how you go. You do you.
This is why I don't do the advice section.
Absolutely why no one's coming to you for relationship advice, Maureen, as much as I love you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sorry, Alison, I'm distracted by the fact that Maureen appears to be drinking double cream.
I'm not drinking double.
What are you drinking?
It's a cafe latte.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, Alison, let's be honest. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that Maureen is chugging on some double cream. Thank you very much, Alison June Smith, for your advice. As always, on point. It's televisual time. The time for our televisual experience. Shush.
Oh, wow.
That's really gone down the toilet.
This is TV time. I'm doing TV this time. Law and Order Organised Crime. Yes. On Now TV and Sky TV.
Hell. No, I love Law and Order.
Law and Order is fantastic. So for those of you who don't know, it's Law and Order Organised Crime.
For those of you that don't know what Law and Order is.
It's the oldest show, oldest crime
wow.
show.
Wow.
But no, but like Elliot Stabler was part of SVU, and then the actor had a fallout with the producers over money, and then he disappeared halfway through the various series. So it's his own show now. So he's back. He's an undercover cop. I have to say, the guy who plays him, I think Christopher Maloney, is very, very good at playing a tough guy, because it's very hard to do. You get actors who play tough. He doesn't play tough. He just comes across as he's really good at being a tough guy, but with a bit of a soft center. You can believe he's an ex-Marine. He's a bit like Bond in that he finds himself in all these death-defying situations and somehow always comes out alive. There is a point where he's on TV because he kind of discovers this a corrupt group of cops, and then he's back up to being undercover because apparently the criminal fraternity in New York don't watch the news. which is lucky for him. I caught up with all the series. There was loads of them, and then it's dropping every week, and I'm catching up on it. And they're also doing this thing now because him and Olivia Benson from SVU, they were always good partners, but now there's this. Looks like a relationship is going to develop between them.
Oh, no.
They yes. do that.
Because his wife got killed in the first episode of the organised crime thing.
Oh,
so the
God,
path is
did.
Clear.
It's handy.
The
so,
path is clear.
There's a kind of do they, will they, work. And I kind of like the fact they were just good friends and there was nothing going on because I can
Me
relate
too.
To that.
Me yeah. too.
But now there's this kind of will they, won't they. So what I'm guessing, because there's the last two episodes of both series, there's like a mashup. So I'm guessing one of them will... They'll get together and one of them will get shot or kidnapped or something will happen to one of them and they'll be like, why didn't we say this earlier? Because I think the problem is if they do get together, then where does it go from there? But anyway, that's a big thing going on. But I'm really enjoying it. It's I know I've been taking the piss slightly, but it is an above average, crime procedural show. It's really well written. It's really well filmed. It's really well acted. He is really good as Elliot Stabler. And, because he's just, I remember seeing an actor try and play very scary, dangerous, and it was just too much acting wise. He just is it. And I just think he's brilliant in the role. And I would recommend it.
Maureen, I love it. And Law and Order, there's so many bloody episodes and so many seasons that you can, every time I'm like, I've never seen this one.
I know. But also you don't mind watching them again. And also in the first two series, Dylan McDermott plays the baddie. And it does, he does turn into, I mean, he's good, but he turns into a pantomime villain by the second season. The amount of evil stuff he does, it's just like you expect Jaws music to come on in the background every time he appears. I mean, it is a bit ludicrous, but yeah, I would recommend it.
Well, a solid recommendation there from Warren Younger, yeah. A Law and Order procedural. If you've heard of Law and Order, you may not have. This may not be the one to start with. There's another 925 series of various other Law and Orders to get through before. Otherwise, you won't understand what's happening. Thank you for your recommendation, Maureen. That's, I like a procedural drama because it's often quite comfort TV. There's a resolution at the end of the episode.
Yes.
And I do like that.
Yeah.
So, and you can get that if you have Now TV in this country, which is the UK. If you live outside of the UK, no idea. Do some research.
I'm sure it's on somewhere, though.
It'll be on somewhere. And there's always Law and Order.
I hope that helps. It'll be on somewhere.
Absolutely somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I have been watching a show. I always have to have some sort of horror show on the go, don't I? But this one is called From. Do you know about this one, Alison? It's on, you can watch it on Amazon Prime or Now TV if you're in the UK. It's a horror fiction series. It stars Harold Perrineau. I think he was originally in Lost. Like Lost.
Yeah.
This is kind of like Lost.
Yeah.
I never watched Lost, but what I understand of it is they're on an island and they can't get off it. The residents of a small town somewhere in America, I don't think they even know where they are, struggle to find a way out when mysterious unknown forces keep them from leaving. So what happens is people are traveling all over different
to
parts.
To wherever they're going, yeah.
To wherever they're going in America. They might be in Nevada, they might be in Michigan, they might be in Florida. And they're driving and then they find themselves at a road where there is a tree in front of them and the tree blocks the road, okay? And then they have to go back on themselves and then they never, ever find their way out. Yeah. And they just keep going round and round and round in a circle until they end up at this town, which is the only town that they can find where there are residents to say, hey, can you let me know how to get the hell out of, to get off this? We want to get back onto the freeway. But everybody in the town knows.
You're stuck here now. Yeah.
You're never going to find the freeway. You're stuck in this town. And when you're stuck in this town, you better make sure that at night you're not outside because that's when they come out from who knows. So that is the premise of the show. I have started series two. I don't know if it's good or not.
It is. I loved it. I was in the moment I started watching. Yeah.
Okay. So Alison's in. I mean, it's doing what it says on the tin.
Yes.
It's a horror. It is scary.
Yep.
It isn't desperately gory, but
nope.
Well, actually, no, it is a bit gory, isn't it?
Well,
is gore in it.
Yeah.
There is gore in it. It's not as gory. If you've watched The Walking Dead, it's not anywhere near that gory, not even close to that. But there is stuff in there where you're like, and there is scary bits in it and shocks. And it does, it is part of the horror genre, definitely. And it's creepy and it's spooky. But I'm just watching it going, oh, God. I don't know how they're going to end this. You know when you're in a show going, I don't know that the end is ever going to justify this journey.
No.
I think unless they know, because with Lost, they never knew what the ending was. And so it was really, really crap. I really hope with this series that the writers are going, this is the arc. It's 5 series long. And then at the end, this is how they escape or this is how they don't escape. This is how everyone dies or whatever the story is. Do you know what I mean? Because if they don't have that figured out, I'm going to be really fucked off.
But sometimes they have that problem because, you know, with 24, which was really big, big success when it first came out, they only wrote 8 episodes because it was shown for 8 episodes and then they didn't know whether it was going to be carried on. So when they did the next 8, actually some of it didn't make sense from the beginning because they hadn't thought through the whole plotting.
Well, every series was 24 episodes, wasn't it? Wasn't the whole point was that it was
24? Yeah, but 24. They filmed the first eight or something, or the first half of it.
So they, when they wrote 24.
Yeah, they only wrote the first half.
So they only went, we'll only do the first 8 hours of this 24.
They cashed the first bit, that's all. Don't blame me, I'm not the commissioner.
I just think if you're going to write a show and that every hour is an episode, that you do 24 episodes. You'd have an idea for 24 episodes.
But you've only been programmed. Anyway, that was the story.
Right. Well, I think really, as writers, have a little bit of ambition and imagine that it going to 24. All right. Well, it stops at 8 hours, and that's when it. We'll just stop in the middle of it. We'll never know what happens.
You know, but that happened with Outlander, that they had the first 9, I think, episodes, and then then they carried on for the other 5 because it was such a success for the first season.
But if you're going to start a series which has a mystery,
yeah,
have an idea of what the mystery is. Not like it's a mystery
to us,
even to us as writers.
But sometimes, Jen, the journey, the story is the interesting part. I mean, come on, we're at the point in life where
no, you won't
accept that.
Not if there's no ending. Not if, like, and we never know. And do you know what I mean? Like, have an idea of what happens at the end, people. You know, like, that. The end. People seem to think that the ending isn't important.
But Stephen King apparently never knows the ending of his stories. That's the thing. That
he does when he's written the book, though.
Yeah, by the
and
time
he's selling
it. Yeah, but at the beginning, he
doesn't. Sold you a book. He's got a beginning, middle,
and
an end.
That's different from a book from a film. Anyway, Alison, let's move on because this is turning into a horror story of our own. What's your horror recommendation?
No, I just want to go back to what you were going to say there, Maureen. Yeah. That's different from writing a movie. So when
you
write a movie, you don't know the ending.
You don't send half a book to get printed and say, oh, if it's a success, I'll write the other half.
You don't send half a movie to get made.
No, but
you send
I'm
a whole
about
movie
movies,
to get made.
I'm talking about TV series. Anyway, Alison, for fuck's sake, interrupt us and talk about your horror movie.
No, I just want to go back to this.
No. Yeah.
If you're pitching a series, which is a mystery, okay, have an idea what happens at the end of the mystery. If I was a TV exec, I'd go, but what happens? Where do you see this ending? I wouldn't be like, I guess we only need to know what happens at the beginning. Wouldn't you be like, I'd love to know where you imagine this might end?
I'll let you know when I become a TV exec.
As a commissioner.
Anyway, Alison.
Do you know what I mean?
I wonder.
Isn't that a reasonable request?
And maybe there's a variety of endings.
Is this going to end?
Yeah.
And how do you see it? It could end this way. It could end that way. Is it going to end that way? How do you see this going to end? I don't think that's an unreasonable question to ask.
Yeah,
and that is the only thing I want to know from this show, is if I'm going to invest in 20 episodes, which I have, which I will be, and there's going to be another 20 episodes. I just want there to be a good ending. That's all.
Well, yeah.
Alison, let's go to the horror.
No, Maureen. No. These are reasonable questions to ask.
Yeah.
Sorry, who's got the...
And I'm...
Jen, who's got the appointment they need to get to?
I'm asking it.
You're the one that needs to go to the appointment.
We're skipping Cultural Corner, Maureen. I don't know if you know this.
Okay. No, we're skipping.
I don't need to go back to why we were running late in the first place.
If there is a TV commissioner listening, if you could write in and explain if
why
a TV show will get commissioned without a solid ending. Maybe they give a variety of endings.
Alison,
they
stop encouraging
that.
Jen. Fucking tell us the horror recommendation. I'm going to go straight to Cultural Corner.
I'm trying to find a happy middle ground.
Alison, sometimes it doesn't work. It just doesn't.
Oh God.
I know you're Canadian, but you just got to live with it.
Okay. I'm going to jump into my movie then. The horror movie. I've never seen Maureen more excited about me talking about a horror movie, and that's just because she wants out of this discussion. That's awesome. Okay, so this week, my horror movie, very different from last week. Look, this is one that will only be for a few, but the reason I've chosen this, the whole idea of a breakup, relationships, an item that is of significance, I'm going to recommend the movie Hellraiser, everyone. Now, Hellraiser is one of the horror movies that is, it's a franchise, started many years ago. It's been around for a while. Yes, there is gore. Yes, there is blood. Again, this may not be for everyone, but here's the summary. A woman discovers the newly, go with me here, everyone, please bear with me. A woman discovers the newly resurrected, partially formed body of her brother-in-law. She starts killing for him to revitalize his body so he can escape the demonic beings that are pursuing him after he escaped their sadistic underworld. Okay. Ugh. I know. We're going
this
on
sounds
a real...
really dark.
It is dark. But the reason why I went with it is because there's this box, this puzzle box that I was like, ooh, it's an item. And anyone who finds this puzzle box and starts to, you know, unsolve... And the puzzle box only comes to people that kind of have done some rotten things in their lives. And basically, when you figure out the puzzle box, boom, demons come and they take you away to a horrible place. So I know, it's great. But this woman was so in love with this brother-in-law, right? She was so in love. She was having an affair. She was in love with this person. So she is basically helping him crawl out of the underworld. Is it for everyone? Absolutely not. is it something that maybe you should watch during a breakup? Yeah, yeah. To remind you that you should just move on and let go. Like, you don't want to be stuck trying to get people to give to a satanic underworld. Move on sometimes. And maybe objects aren't always worth tracking down. I'm just putting that out there. Watch this movie, everyone. If you're into... satanic. Again, this isn't for everyone. Okay, isn't for everyone.
Allison, it sounds really terrifying.
Yeah, and, it is. This is a true horror movie, everyone. Yeah.
It's one of those movies that if you watched on your own, you'd have to sleep with the lights on.
Yes. Yeah, it
is. Okay. It's one of those.
100. Right. Maureen okay. never, I mean,
it's
forget I've even talked
movie,
about it. No. But for the few horror fans that are out there, Hellraiser, it is one of the classic series. Yeah.
I mean, even the poster is terrifying.
Terrifying. Pinhead. He's one of the scariest monster kind of, yeah, people that have,
I've never watched it. It scared me just when it got so much PR, didn't it, when it came out.
Oh,
when did it come out?
I was just trying to look that up right now. When did it come out? I'm looking at IMDb. Where's my years? It's not new, everyone.
1992.
Yeah.
No, that's Hellraiser 3. 1987.
87 is when it came out, everyone.
87. Yeah. Well, okay, so I was just a kid, so I think that's probably why.
But it's still terrifying. I got to say this, for 1987, if you want a scare, this will give you a scare. Yeah.
Well, you can watch it all over the shippity shop, but not least Amazon Prime. You won't be surprised. but also, if you have Now Movies, I think you can watch it on there if you're in the UK. So... get the living budget. It's practically Halloween, isn't it? So
yeah, Hellraiser, give it a go.
Yeah, it's going to be Halloween in like just over a week. So yeah. That could be one to like really get yourself in the mood.
You bet.
Thank you very much, Alison, for your horror recommendation. Let's head back to Maureen Younger for what hopes to be a very quick cultural corner. Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
No, it is. You'll be pleased to know it is a very quick cultural corner because it's book. I'm talking about book club. Which will be on the 25th of October, Wednesday.
Wednesday, the 25th of October. Okay.
7:30 UK time. This month's books was Graham Greene, who was a great British writer. We did Third Man.
Our Man in Havana?
The Third Man, which actually he wrote, but he was writing the script, and because he needed to write a prose version in order to kind of flesh out the script. And you can tell the film is a lot better. It's only 98 pages, so it's a very quick read. And the other one we read of his was Brighton Rock, which is a much better book. And it's about all the kind of little gangs that used to be in Brighton after the war. You don't really think of Brighton now as like this... these little protection rackets, razor guys. It's very late 40s, early 50s. And so and the main guy is called Pinky. He's a 17-year-old who's very scary. It's quite frightening because he's very young. And there's also a very good film with Richard Attenborough, black and white British movie, called Brighton Rock, which I totally recommend.
Yes, I can remember.
And
that.
He's really
is
good
in
it. Richard Attenborough is playing Pinky. And he was I think he was a lot older than... at the time, but he's really, really good. It's a really good... forgot who the female actress is in it. She's also really good. And next month's book is called The Manning Tree Witches, given that it's kind of around Halloween. And basically, fear and suspicion take root among the women of Manning Tree when the witch finder general comes to town. Da-da-da! And so England... that's my own background music, if you're wondering. England.
So Maureen's got her own
drama music. Like also when I'm showing wearing clothes, I'm like... da-da-da. Anyway, England, 1643. and puritanical fervor has gripped the nation in Manningtree, depleted of men since the Civil War began. The women are left to their own devices, and Rebecca West chafes against the drudgery of her days. But when Matthew Hopkins arrives, he was a very famous, infamous, I should say, witchfinder general, real character, asking bladed questions and casting damning accusations, mistrust and unease seep into the lives of the women. Caught between betrayal and persecution, what must Rebecca West do to survive? I mean, it was a horrendous time to be a woman in those days. So, So, yeah, that's going to be next week's book. And it was on the shortlist for the Costa Book Awards 2021.
Brilliant. And if people want to join the book club, you know, new listeners, which I know we do have new listeners.
Yes, we do.
Who may not know about the book club, what should they do?
There's a WTB Book Club Facebook page. So if you join that, and then that will give you the times and the links to... when we do a Zoom book club.
Yeah, do, if that's up you, if, because I think sometimes people are like, oh, I don't have time to go to a book club, or I have to physically go somewhere. This is all online.
Yeah.
Is it monthly, Maureen?
Once a month, yeah.
Yeah, it's once a month. So it gives you a whole month to read a book. And they all vary. Like, I mean, God, genre-wise, it's bouncing all over the place. And you're bound to find something that you like and maybe other things that you wouldn't read if they weren't suggested.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point about book club, is that you read books that normally you would never read. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
And Jen's finally read my book, haven't you, Jen?
I did. Sorry. Yes. Okay. So, yes, I read Maureen's book. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I won't go into the cover. It doesn't matter. But Prisms of My Life. I really enjoyed. I've read the whole thing from start to finish. I even read The Void again. Because The Void is in there. And I can highly recommend it. Maureen is a very good writer, and you'll laugh, and there's pathos in there, Maureen. There's some sad stuff in there. I really enjoyed it, and I think our listeners will too. And you can obviously get on our Bezos website and buy it there.
Sorry about that.
Also, to let you know, in other incredible WTB news before we go into my goat, Alison June Smith is on tour.
Yeah.
Alison June Smith is on tour. You will find the dates on her website.
Yeah, on the website. Slowly we are posting them. Essentially, it's the cities that Jen has performed in that I will also be doing a show in. Because...
Fair enough.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But there's lots of dates on there. Go to Alison. Is it AlisonJuneSmith.com?
Yeah, AlisonJuneSmith.com. And please.
And you can find out if Alison is performing near you. And if she is, WTB listeners, why wouldn't you want to spend an hour in Alison's company? She's been smashing the living bejesus out of all of the support gigs that she's been doing for me. And yes, do catch Alison on tour early next year.
Yeah. You're sweet. Thanks, Jen, for bringing that up. Yeah.
Admin's over. Admin's over.
So, Jen, what is your goat?
Don't judge me. Now, you're going to be judging me now, but bloody well wait, okay? This is terrible, isn't it? That's what's got my goat. And do you know who I blame? Society. Well, quick goat, as I've got an appointment. But a very quick goat. I want to just be able to address how few people can make a decent cup of tea. Chloe has given me a cup of tea. She came in earlier. I don't want to cast aspersions over Chloe's ability to make tea, which is, by the way, pretty bad. But this is absolutely one of the worst cups of tea I've had in some time. It is, for a start, it has been made with warm milk. Warm milk, not okay. Hot milk in a tea. Absolutely not. It actually looks like coffee. I don't understand how it's managed to look like coffee. It doesn't even look like tea, like a really milky coffee. Something about hot milk in a tea, it doesn't work. It's got to be cold milk in a tea. You can put warm milk in a coffee, but cold milk in a tea. I need it to be strong. I don't want a super, super milky tea. No, thank you.
Yeah.
I want it to taste like tea. Everybody, again, I don't want to get personal, but let's just take a moment to say that nobody in Chloe's family can make a decent cup of tea. And I don't know what it is, because these people are British, okay?
They're very British.
Fact, not even British.
They're very English.
They're English. Honestly, Chloe's mum shares tea bags, which I'm like, we're not in the war. And it's almost like the tea bag just brushes water and then you're placed with a cup of tea with a bit of milk.
And what do we put in first, Alison, the milk or the tea?
Let's not start the argument because...
Oh, my God. I
know.
We know what the
Jen
answer
will,
is.
Her head will explode. Jen will say put the milk in after. I do sometimes put the milk in first just because I heard you will burn the tea. Okay, I know, Jen.
How long have you lived in this country, Alison?
10 years.
I mean, you should revoke your British citizenship on that.
We just got to get our tea right and then everything will be okay with the world. And I don't think that's too much to ask. So that is what has gotten my goat, which actually, you know, even though I'm looking at this cup of tea and I'm borderline viscerally angry about it. I've let it go. I've just said to myself, do you know what? Even though I'd been looking forward to that tea and was going to enjoy drinking that tea whilst we did this record and I haven't been able to, it's okay. Sometimes tea doesn't meet your expectations and that's okay. In much the same way that every time I order a coffee, it's like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, yeah.
So...
Because what do you... They always order a flat white and you always get a cappuccino, don't you?
Or a latte.
Or a latte.
I just want a flat white. I agree with you, Jen. My dad saves tea bags, and I'm like, "What are you doing? Like, we don't have ration booklets anymore. Like, you can move on." Yeah, I like a strong cup of tea.
It's that generation, though. My dad sucks marrow out the bones of chicken.
Well, I mean, he can do that as long as he's not making me a cup of tea. I don't mind. As long as he's not dipping chicken bones in my tea. Get to it. Oh dear. Well, anyway, that's the end of this week's episode, and I've got to go. I've got other things to do. I can't be just chatting to you.
You got to make a cup of tea.
Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Oh, you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats.
Will that do?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.